I wouldn't touch that one, actually.
That's pretty short. So let's open the meeting, and I'd like to open with roll call, starting with Jeff.
And Jeff Handley of the Dalles.
Cristiano Dufour.
Vicki Ashley Bakehoven.
Russ Hargrave from Mosier.
Brad Dehart of the Dalles.
Lynn Erickson McIntyre of the Dalles.
Angie Brewer, staff.
Don Baird, staff.
So before we go to the hearing, does anyone want to speak on something that is not on today's agenda? Okay. All right, fine then. We will return to the hearing on item PLAAPL-17-10-0001, which is an appeal by David Wilson of a Type 1 review to deny retroactive approval of a 100-foot-by-70-foot-by-14-foot tall, in other words, 7,000-square-foot agricultural exempt building, and to instead approve a 2,500-square-foot agricultural exempt building. I don't have to read the rest of it, do I? Thank you. So we're in deliberation, and before we start, I wanted to, has any other written information come in, or?
Not since the agenda was distributed 7 days ago.
Okay.
There was new information that came in within 7 days after your hearing last time, which you left the record open for 7 days.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And just so everyone knows, and the new information was?
Submitted by the attorney.
Right.
Staff had a short memo. But most of it was from the attorney about why this should be allowed.
And has everyone had a chance to look at that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think there was a staff memo too, right?
Yes.
Okay. What are your thoughts? Does everyone remember exactly where we were?
Brad was going to have the main thought.
Brad asked for time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means he has
I don't know if I have the main thought, but.
Did any conclusions come from the extra time that you want to share?
The additional information that was submitted along with staff's memo in response to that. Doesn't change my perspective, I guess. I'm still at the point where I have a difficult time, albeit it's an existing building, and I understand that you said we shouldn't be considering that. I'm trying very hard not to take that into consideration and view this from the perspective of just process. And I just have a sense that in an effort, in staff's effort to make to try and come up with an evaluation that would support the building that's there retroactively, I feel like we might have gone down a path trying to justify or help or work to justify the building, and when we got to the end of that, fell short, maybe. This is just my take on it based on the discussions that have occurred. From all of the information that's been provided of the other examples from around the county that the applicant has provided and their lawyer has provided information on, it does seem like it's not very consistent how we review applications for agricultural buildings as far as the size of the building and what the plan is to go inside the building. Saw several examples of where there was lots of open space provided within the building or no distinction at all about what was going to go in the building. yet in our case, we've gotten to the point of trying to show that, or requiring that it be shown that the building be so packed full that I'm not sure how you would even walk around it. We don't have any ideas about how much additional space you should require or is allowable or necessary to get around a stack of hay, let alone the size of the hay pile itself. It just doesn't even matter.
Russ, I did some research. I went on and looked at tax lots adjacent to or surrounding the examples that the applicant gave. Being a farmer, I kind of understand. You don't put your building on your best piece of ground. You locate it centrally, next to a road, next to the electricity, as much as possible. A lot of these big buildings, if you look at them, they're located on a small parcel, usually probably a rock pile to begin with, or the least farmable. Next to a road, next to electricity. Most of them probably, and in the examples that I found where I could get in deeper, some of them don't even have electricity. They're just a storage shed, but they're big. They show big comparison to what the acreage is. I have a feeling that it's too bad the applicant got misinformation beginning. He said he asked neighbors and he didn't need permits for an agriculture building. You know, I guess you need a permit for everything else. Why didn't you inquire before you did something? I'm afraid if we let this slide, how many more are going to try it? I really have a feeling that there's probably a lot more out there that we don't know right now, that if a code officer would really do a lot of work, we would find a lot more buildings that were built without permits. This is going to be highly publicized, and I have a real feeling about we're opening a can of worms if we let it go.
Thanks, Vicki and Brad. I mean, I think that really helps to bring us back to the discussion we were having. I was just going to comment back on two things on what each of you said. you know, in terms of not considering the fact that it's there as the reason it should be there, or a part of the reason, justification for it, is just concerned about that precedent, because as Vicki says, you need to watch what kind of signals we're sending around what's acceptable and think down the road of the implications of the decision that we would make here. I think that setting the precedent, well, it's there, so that carries some weight, is really a dangerous slippery slope. And so I just feel that that is inappropriate, although obviously when you look at it as a person, someone builds a lot, you know, it is a hard not to consider. I think it's very flawed to use it as a factor in the reasoning. I just can also say, go ahead.
Well, we have a 3,000 acre farm, plus acres. Our machine shed is only 3,100 square feet. We park a combine, trucks, all but our big tractors in there, and still have room for a work corner. And my husband said, my God, if I could have 6,900 feet, I'd die, I'd go to heaven.
Why doesn't he have 6,900?
Huh?
Why doesn't he have 6,900?
Because of the cost to put it up.
Right, I mean, but it's not against the rules, does it?
No, it's not against the rules. 7,000, whatever. It's not against the rules if you can justify it with the acreage, as I feel. And the acreage and the machinery involved with the amount of acreage you have. I think there's a correlation.
Yeah, I think if you look at it at a very high level, 3,000 acre farm,
well,
what were the stats you gave?
Farm.
You know, and 2,500
square feet.
At a macro level, there's a juxtaposition. Even if you added up all the parcels there, they're more in the neighborhood of under 100 acres, you know, 7,000 square foot. So that, you know, that ratio at a high level is seems anomalous.
That's if you're doing apples to apples of the same exact thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of factors that go into that.
I just wanted to comment on one other thing. In terms of setting a precedent, I think the fact that it was built without a permit is definitely a problem, but it is somewhat of a routine problem. And correct me if I'm wrong, mistaken, Angie, but I think that we often retroactively grant permits where the permit would have been granted in the first place. Isn't that true? Maybe the word often, but it's not often, so unusual.
Often is the word I'm hung up on.
Yeah, so it does happen. Not often. But it happens, and it's not that unusual.
It does happen. We take it through the review process.
It goes through the process. That's my point.
So the zone would have to allow it, and it would have to meet the same standards, just like a new building would.
So I think, you know, to stay consistent to what we've been doing, the problem isn't that it was built without a permit. The question turns more on would it be allowed? Is it allowed? Not even would it be allowed, but is it allowed? Because this is the point in time where we would be granting the permit. And that is the question, and that is the process. And that's all I wanted to point out. It's we don't want to encourage people to build without permits, but either way, we put them through the same process. And so to me, the fault here that we would turn on wouldn't be that it was built without a permit, but whether or not we want to allow this kind of a building in this zoning and this
and whether the building's there or not, we would still be sitting here whether it was up or not. This is, I don't think it's setting a precedence because he built it first. We'd be here whether he had built it or not, probably.
Perhaps.
I mean, most likely.
Perhaps.
I don't know how
it would be. It may have been handled more routinely, right? Because you'd come in and apply and you'd get the whatever pushback there is, whatever reconciliation with the rules that needs to happen between an owner's understanding and what those rules mean in terms of land use would happen right there before it's built. So it might not come to the Planning Commission.
Right.
But nevertheless, the point I want to make is it's not because it's there. I think that's dangerous. And it's not because it didn't have a permit. It's whether or not it should be permitted.
And had it not been denied, it would be here most likely. That's what I'm saying. Whether the building's there or not, had he gone in there with no building there, and she denied the application, we'd still be sitting here talking about whether that building is permittable or not.
Exactly. Perhaps, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
If
it's not the building being there, it's not worth. It's neither here nor there.
Or they may have changed the plan to make it work.
What are your thoughts from the nightstand, Chris?
At this point, I think as far as you look at the building itself, it is unfortunate it's there, but like I said, I think had Mr. Wilson had this building, came in and Ms. Baird said it's not going to be allowed, most likely we would be sitting here whether that building's there or not. So I don't think we're setting precedents because the building's up. And I wouldn't have any, I wouldn't balk to take it down if it was completely out of whack. That would not bother me at all.
Okay.
I think at this point, I'm not in the business of telling somebody how to run their business. I said that before. I don't think it's my job. I think, you know, as Vicki said, if her husband could afford a bigger building, he would probably have it. Mr. Wilson has a big building. It doesn't, as far as I can tell, other than being too large and some people, you know, the eyes of whatever, I don't think it's outside I don't think it breaks the rules. And, you know, what you use an agriculture building for, if you're going to take, you know, if you want to take all your animals inside to get them out of a blizzard or get them out of whatever, you know, at what point do you say, okay, that building can't be there because I say, you're not utilizing your job or your whatever, you're not utilizing what you're supposed to be doing the correct way. We're not in the business of telling people how to do to run their business. That's what I'm saying. And so as long as it falls within, you know, all the parameters, I don't see a problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, I think that's pretty candid. Just a question then, so that wouldn't concern you, if you look across the county at all the land that this might apply to, and you start saying, okay, this much building, this much acres, it wouldn't concern you if it proliferated and a lot of people started going to the same density?
I think if that's something we're concerned about, then we probably need to come up with something that's going to regulate the size of the building. But at this point, I don't think that's there. I think we're talking about what is allowable, what's not allowable. And I don't, you know, I think, I appreciate the fact that 7,000 square foot building's only 14 feet high, too. I mean, I would have thought, I think we said that before, that it would be an enormous eyesore. I think if people want to use their property, agriculturally speaking, for, you know, if he has a small piece of property and he wants to store barrels of wine in there, he's going to need a pretty substantial square footage to get that done. You know, whatever type of property somebody's going to use, and I just don't see how you can come in and say today that, you know, we may not even know the type of agriculture that can be done in this community at this point. You know, there may be something down the road that comes in. It may take some sort of size like that, and then we end up restricting that. I think we need to be careful. That's my take.
Thanks. Jeff, what are your thoughts from what
my, well, I wasn't here for the first meeting, so I haven't been in on everything, but my initial reaction is I don't like telling somebody how large that they can build their outbuilding. I think you go down that road, you're then going to tell people, well, now we're going to control how large of a house that you build, or how the yard shed that you build, or something like that. And I don't like telling somebody what the proper size is for what they're doing. I think that's best left to the owner of the property and his own, in their own situation, to figure out what best size that they need for their operations. That's just my gut feeling.
You know, you mentioned outbuilding, and so I want to just ask a question of staff here. There's such a thing as an accessory building, right? And in order to qualify, it has to be accessory to something. So my question is, I can't recall in this case, is that a potential in this case, or is there nothing? I mean, it's a piece of F2 land, there's no house on it, so.
There is a house on it.
There is, yeah. So if the accessory building, where the size is spelled out, so for an accessory building, it's a percentage.
Of the size of the house.
It's 75% of the footprint of the home.
Piece of property, the rules for accessory building would be relevant.
Yes. If for some reason you found that the agriculture use wasn't commercial in nature, then you'd be pursuing an accessory building instead of an agriculture building.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I mean, it seems relevant factor here to
But in that case, there would be no way to approve it based upon, if there are very prescribed formulas, you would take the size of the house and you would be restricted on the size of the building. The house would have to be a 10,000 square foot house before this size of accessory building would
almost
be allowed.
Yeah, close. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, but please understand that typically a traditional model is you would apply for the building before you built it. So you wouldn't be coming in trying to justify the size of the building based on the size of the house. You'd be coming in to learn what you qualified for as far as accessory buildings go. And I should qualify that percentage is a Wasco County rule adopted on top of existing state regulations. So it is something that we do locally, not required by state law. So something to consider for our updates as we continue to progress through our update process.
As a note, it was created by one of our former planning commissioners. That limitation.
So it's a tool that could be used if our rule was a little bit different. If we didn't ratchet down the size so specifically, it could have been pursued if The applicant was not pursuing a commercial farm. I'm not saying that's not what he's doing, because he did prepare a farm plan that demonstrates he is putting, he is doing a commercial farm operation, so I'm not saying that's what that is, but that could have been pursued as one option if that was the preference of the applicant, yes.
So you said outbuilding, which is what got me started on this. I just want to make sure we all understand. And the useful thing about the accessory building is that it does have a prescribed way of calculating the size.
And so really what we have under the agricultural size, the only square footage guidance or limitation that we truly have
state
is the statewide 20,000 square foot, right?
Here's a maximum size, yes. But well, the farm management plan, I mean, it's this, our ordinance has a requirement for a farm management plan for new farm buildings, for agriculture buildings, so that we can meet the statutory requirement that we're required to meet, which is to verify that the building will be indeed used for an agriculture use. So in an effort to ensure that we don't have a bunch of mixed-use buildings out there, or, you know, really large accessory buildings, they might have a little bit of farm use in them, our tool in our ordinance is that we evaluate the size based on the need, and the need is demonstrated by the applicant. So we're not preparing the farm, like I said last time, we're not preparing the farm management plans for the applicant. We're relying on them to prepare, you know, to demonstrate to us that they need the space for what their agricultural needs are. And when it gets complicated or goes beyond our expertise, we reach out to other agencies and entities for additional assistance. So there is a method to the madness.
So in looking through the additional information that was provided, there was a farm management plan that was submitted as an example, mm-hmm. a couple of them that were submitted as examples, mm-hmm. with drawings that showed 8 pieces of equipment in a very large building. I mean, you could have parked 20 pieces of equipment in those buildings. What level of review do you recall? What level of review occurred on those farm management plans to justify that those buildings were not too large?
Well, so the process is the same for every single application. This one happened to be that we were able to walk through the building before it was built. So we prepared the same farm management plan, application materials, the same kinds of drawings. Typically, there's some exchange with the applicant that's not necessarily captured in all of the application materials, right? There's a lot of phone calls that go back and forth. There's a lot of discussion, correct me if I'm wrong, Don, about how the space is going to be used. When you have that discussion and then you're able to go out in the field and see that not all of the space is actually being used for what was discussed, it sort of draws some question into the evaluation. And that's what happened here is we had the site plan. There's a lot more open space than we anticipated, so we reached out to determine whether or not it was excessive space.
So that almost sounds like because the building was already there, we changed our process a little bit.
Well, I appreciate you guys are wanting to review this as though it is as if the building wasn't there, but the reality is this is the resolution of a violation. So the building is there. It doesn't change the process as far as what steps you go through to review the new building, right? But it is difficult to ignore excessive space. If it's physically in front of you, you might not otherwise be as readily apparent if it's on a drawing, right? Because you can have discussions with a farmer and they say, I'm going to hang all my stuff right here. And you're like, okay, I'm taking your word for it. I trust you. You know, you're the applicant. And then you go out to inspect it, and let's say they don't use it for that. It puts you in kind of an interesting position as the staff who is supposed to be implementing those rules. And so it's not so much a different process, it's just that it's there. It's hard to ignore that the space was being used for personal storage, accessory storage, and not agricultural use. That's the only real difference there. Don,
if
correct me if I'm wrong,
you had put
If he had put all of his equipment in there, all of his equipment that he uses for his operation were in there, along with hay and all that, how would that have changed the outcome then?
If there were agricultural equipment in there, then it would have been demonstrated that there was agricultural equipment in there, I guess.
The difference to me is that most of the ag buildings we see do not provide room for tractors to go between rows. It's never that open. So quite honestly, if all the equipment had still been in there, there would have been an awful lot of empty space that we're not used to seeing in ag buildings.
Well, in some of the applications that we've had a chance to look through, the floor plan for the building had absolutely no designation. None whatsoever. Or only a few pieces of equipment, so.
These permits that you looked at went back 10 years. We get better every year.
That's true.
I understand. I appreciate that. That's my only comment
about that. I don't know each and every one of these ag permits personally.
I understand that, Dawn. I'm not being critical. I appreciate
that we're trying
to do better, but we still have to think about consistently applying the process.
I think part that can go back to what Vicki said too, when her husband would love a bigger building if he could afford it, because it would be handy to be able to pull between your equipment and not have to shuffle stuff around. And the reason why people don't have a bigger building is a lot of times because of cost. And if Mr. Wilson had the money to put the building up, you know, I mean, it would be handy to have a building that's big enough for you to functionally use like that.
There's many a time you back everything out with one piece of equipment, then you put everything back in.
Well, actually,
so it's tight.
It wasn't so much that, as I understand, that Dave Wilson had the money. I think it's a relevant factor that the building came for free,
right,
and it was the size it was. And I grew up on a farm, and I know how farmers think. And if you get something for free that pretty much fits with your long-term strategy, you know, somebody came along and said, here's a tractor trailer. I don't exactly need a whole tractor trailer today, actually just a flatbed. But yeah, that's good, free. And so it's bigger than you need. And that's how we got this.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, it's important.
I do think that, you know, just to follow on that thought, it is the space it is, and I don't think space alone is really indicative relevant to the parameters we're really trying to evaluate, because it comes down to use. I mean, that's really what the regulations are trying to control, and we're, as Dawn and Angie explained, trying to use space as some way to control use. We are, because you said, to just put words in your mouth,
sure,
you can refute them, but if I recall right, you said, well, if the buildings are excessively large, you can get other types of usage cropping up, maybe, right? So we're trying to make sure that the building size is calibrated to the use. And, you know, trying to use space as a way to manage this. It's hard to manage, because look at the disparity in operations. You know, what are you farming? How much space does that require? How do you want to farm it? Some people could care less about their equipment, and it's fine if it's rusty. I have no way I'm putting it inside. And other people seem to care more about their equipment than their families. And so there's just wide ranges in terms of farm operations. It comes down to use. It comes down to use. And that's what the rules are about. And when I look at this building, and I live in this area, and I drive around all the time and look at a lot of these buildings, and I can see evidence of use that isn't agricultural use in an ag building. I see it in the second floor windows with curtains. Never seen a chicken that needed a curtain. And I see it in terms of the cars that are parked outside the barn all night long. Somebody's living there. right on Iota Road. And you can see if when you go in the barn, is it all full of junk cars that obviously haven't been moved in years? Or there was stuff in this 7,000 square foot building that wasn't ag stuff. There was personal items under the tarp, a few other things. It didn't look to me like it was built in. It didn't look like it had been there a long time or was set up to be there a long time. So, you know, at the macroscopic scale that I'm looking at this in, which is across the county, I live in the area, and I see all of these buildings, and I do see misuse, and I just didn't see a lot of it here. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of empty space. And yeah, that's an awfully big building for this size farming up. We're talking about farming something like 6 to 10 acres of barley and a few animals. I mean, it's very small. It's a very big building. But space that's not our concern. Our concern is what's the use. I don't see a tremendous amount of agricultural use. It's a very, very small operation. But it is clearly a farming operation. He not only submitted a farm plan, but he also has the farm deferral. So, you know, there's a fair amount of collateral behind it being a real farm. So I look at the use. I see some farming. I don't see a lot of misuse relative to the norm. I actually see very little misuse, honestly, relative to the norm. If you went around to all the buildings within a mile and poked your head in each one, I think you'd find a lot of people storing their old cars in there. Maybe it's a small percentage, but I thought this was quite a small percentage relative to the size of those. So I don't know. Those are some of my thoughts. It has to come down to use. I think if we look at the other flaws here, the flaw of not applying ahead of time and so forth. Okay, but in terms of setting a precedent, you know, it's really about the use. I struggle a little with the size of the building, but again, we're talking about square footage, a lot of which isn't very high. And so, you know, that's just one metric.
I would definitely struggle with it, you know, if it was outside of the limits that were set forth. And I mean, I would not have a problem telling them to take it down. And that's the other thing. I don't feel, the more I thought about it, the less I was worried that it was up.
Right, I agree. I wouldn't have a problem saying take it down.
Yeah.
Just because it's up.
And that's when you said that, it did kind of, at first I was like, I was struck by that. But the more I thought about it, I was like, nah, if it's outside the limits, it shouldn't be there.
Right.
And I wouldn't feel bad saying, it's got to go. So I'm with you. It's big.
Yeah.
And I have to assume that just because there's a big building that's allowable on that space, that the entire rest of the county is not going to go out and put up a huge building, mainly because they can't afford it. And that's, you know, I mean, if your farming operation doesn't support something and you start paying for it, that's going to right the wrong, and you're going to be out of business. But I'm not here to tell people how to run their business.
Well, I was just going to mention that reminder that he updated some information, and staff said that there was additional square footage that could be supported by the information he provided. So now we're up to 3,000 square feet supported by the operation. So that's about half of that building.
And I think that's important, you know, because it becomes incremental at some point, right? And but also, we need to be careful with, I think the work the staff did in coming up with these numbers and doing this analysis and getting expert input was sage. I think it was a great piece of work and a really good piece of analysis. I think as you go to make decisions that have big implications, we need to be careful how much we rely on the formula and the numbers and the calculations, because they're not codified. They're good. I think it was a good piece of work, but it isn't codified. And so it's a good piece of input, and the reason it's brought to the commission is to make a subjective decision based on as much objective data as we can get. So I appreciate the quantification that that analysis did. But to the degree that we rely on it as justification for the decision, we need to realize that it's not codified, and so you get into the questions that Chris and Jeff were raising around who says it is or it isn't enough space, and what is codified is the use. Vicki?
I just have a real problem with that. If he walked in today to the desk and said he was going to build this building, would we allow it? That's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, I appreciate what Angie said. However much we want to consider it as a blank slate, it's not. And some of that's really relevant to your process. You know, when you go look at it, you can go look at it, right? So it is different in that sense. I think in terms of whether we approve it or not, we should look at it through the lens you're suggesting. It probably would have been flagged at the planning department level, the same as it has been in this case. It perhaps would have been escalated and appealed to the commission. So I don't know.
I guess, you know, factors that would have been if you walked in today would have been hindsight is great, but you have 60 some acres, you know, you need to qualify. Questions would have been asked differently to quantify the amount of the feet of square feet of the building. And we're just behind the eight ball here. We're trying to justify something that happened, but there aren't all the pieces there.
Well, I don't feel I'm trying to justify it. I'm not. You know.
That's.
I'm just trying to figure out what's.
Pieces.
Yeah. Well, which pieces do you think are not there then?
I'm not sure that the farm plan, I mean, yes, it is. And he has EFU land. But I just don't feel the few acres.
It's actually not EFU, it's F2.
Yeah, but he has an EFU exemption.
He has a farm exemption on the F2.
He has
land.
A deferral.
But it's on F2.
But it's not exclusive farm.
It's F2 land. Okay. Right. Go back. Would that have. On the F2 land,
yep.
On the 68 acres, you have to look at the amount that, because you have the farmstead, the house, the accessory buildings, and all that. You took that out. Then how much of that other land is tillable? Or because the application didn't ask for a place to put cows, you know, it didn't have a stall type thing for cows. It was strictly storage. And so these things would have been ironed out before it got to this size, I think. So I just have a question there.
Sure.
I suspect if this were a new application walking in the door based on just the other plans that we saw, the farm management plans and how they laid things out, that it would have been approved.
I believe so. I believe so as well.
I believe so. And I think that the applicant is arguing that to that effect because of the records that have been submitted, you know, which are examples of ones that were approved. But there probably would have been a lot of reconciliation, you know, maybe in the first pass, hey, this farm plan doesn't support this, okay, let's, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
And like Steph typically does, they work with the applicants to get the yes.
They do, yeah.
They do.
Steph's great that way.
With a clean slate, if there was question, they would have been able to work with the applicant to say, let's show a little bit more information on what this building is going to be used for so that it's defensible, and they would, there would have been some back and forth, I believe.
That's my feeling. I think there would have been.
Yeah.
On figuring out a way to be able to solidly approve Mr. Wilson's 7,000 square foot building that he had laying out there in a pile that he had.
See, there would have been more documentation for us. Maybe not documentation, but more interaction. That's what I'm feeling.
Is that true, Angie?
I don't think that we would have been able to arrive at in agreement at 7,000 square feet at the counter with the floor plan. Just because it's a large building, and there are, you know, there's a large amount of area dedicated to each of these things identified. There probably would have been some more back and forth at the counter to really confirm that amount of space was necessary. And maybe we would have arrived at that, but wouldn't have been just a green flag through because you submitted a farm plan.
What if somebody had like a horse farm where they raise racing horses and they have 20 horses and they only have 15 acres.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have an indoor riding.
Right, that's why I'm saying.
A lot. You're talking 7,000 square feet.
Huge buildings that would take, you know, and you're talking about an amount of money that is enormous, you know. I mean, my point being that there's nothing. I asked Don if there was any sort of size rules that they were breaking when they put the building up. Other than, I don't think it's supported by the farm
right.
thing. There's no size limit other than the 20,000 square feet. Is that right though or not? Because I don't want to say something.
I feel like it's being thrown around a lot. That's research I did for a case a long time ago. That's the only size limitation I've ever come across in the statute.
Let's say it this way.
But I haven't done that research for this case specifically.
But to flip it around, I think what you're saying is, as far as we know, no specific size limitation was broken by the 7,000.
Yes, that's right.
That's correct.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I feel like we're getting back into this, trying to come up with a square footage for uses that would get up to 7,000 feet. And that's just a pitfall. If I had this building and I wanted to buy 2 or 3 years of hay, who are we to say that the hay that's produced and stored in this building to feed the cattle has to be grown on the property? You
Maybe
can buy the hay.
You can,
if I had a deal on hay and I wanted to bring it in by the semi load and fill up half my shed because.
So we could come up with reasons why you would need a 7,000. You know, we could do that all day. And I think, to be fair to the staff, what they're presented with is the farm plan, and the farm plan didn't say what you're saying. But I think Brad's point is good, which is it could have said that. And I think that's what Vicki's been saying, is that, you know, if that were in the plans, it would have been teased out and put into the document.
That's
before,
what I was trying to get
first
at,
place.
Russell,
yeah.
That if this were an initial application, that back and forth discussion could have occurred.
I think I'm ready to attempt a motion.
Oh, please do.
But I think it's going to be wrong, so I'll feel pretty corrected when I get done saying it.
Before we jump
to
a motion, there's one other issue that I think is relevant, and that's just the long-term safety. This won't always be Mr. Wilson's property, but he did submit that he's gone through. He's got an electrical permit pulled, somehow. You know, and a building permit has been pulled.
He has not pulled a building permit. He did get an electrical permit after your last meeting.
Okay.
He won't get an ag permit until slash you have a final, we have a final decision in this matter with no appeal. Once the appeal period is over, we will sign that ag permit for him.
Okay.
Assuming it's approved.
Right.
He has the electrical permit right here.
Yeah.
Electrical safety. Yeah, I think, I mean, so that's what I was gonna say in my first feeble attempt at a motion, would be that all permits, all fire safety, all outdoor lighting, all that stuff needs to be, you know, needs to pass the codes, I would say, with the building. And if what he has in existence doesn't, he needs to change that. That would be.
Different condition.
Set all permits, outdoor lighting, and what else?
Fire safety, any of the stuff that needs to be done, you know, through ACOG to make it.
I need you to say it.
Well, he's talking it out.
Okay.
Sounds like he's still delivering it a little bit with himself.
Like I told you, I'm guaranteeing you I'm going to make a mistake on the first effort. I've never done it. I don't do anything right the first try. But so I would, I guess my motion, and please feel free to tell me what I did wrong here, but my motion would be
do you want the wording in your planning commission option?
You have.
I think he's looking at number 3. Option.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I don't have in front of me.
There's
overturn the decision. Yeah, those
overturn.
Don, those permits were already a requirement.
Yes, you do have proposed conditions that require, no, it's not a condition to get an ag permit, but just because we don't say so, it is a requirement. And we can add that in if you'd like.
So,
ag permit from where?
Agricultural permit from Mid-Columbia Economic Development Department.
Oh, okay.
Building codes.
Okay.
MCAD, whatever it is. Soon to be the state
of
Oregon.
Soon to only be one of them.
Soon to be the state.
Should I give it a whirl, Russ?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
So, I'd like to make a motion to do Planning Commission Option C, which is overturn the decision of the planning director and approve the request for a 7,000 square foot agricultural exempt building with amended conditions and findings in the staff recommendation, including he needs to make, you know, all the electrical permits, fire safety, outdoor lighting. He needs to meet all of the codes that would come with putting the building up around.
You would want him to obtain all those. You would also want him to obtain an approach permit from the county public works director, record the restrictive covenant that's required by the ag permit, requires outdoor lighting to meet the standards, and then failure to meet all conditions will result in enforcement action.
That would be my motion, and please feel free to.
Then we're going to talk about what findings you're using.
Don,
can we get to the motion?
You're way smarter than me.
So it sounded like what you said was to overturn the decision and approve the request, but to keep the conditions.
That's basically what it
that's,
did.
That's right?
Keep
yes.
Okay.
I could believe so, yes.
So there's the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so let's talk about it. You guys, any deliberation on this? Is this the motion you want, or are these the conditions you want?
Russ, do you have any?
I'm looking back at a couple of
I think it was well stated.
Thank you.
You did a great job. I'm just giving everyone time polish this baby.
The electrical permit wasn't one of the original conditions that staff had recommended, right?
No, but neither was an agricultural exempt permit.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
They're still required to do that.
Yes, okay.
But he has to have the fire safety electrical within the building because if he stores hay or any combustible material, all electrical has to be in continent, so that's another requirement.
That will be through building codes.
Not through us.
Yeah. They'll be given a copy of the floor plan that shows hay storage.
And so we are requiring, in addition to the electrical permit, a building permit for an ag building.
An agricultural exempt building permit, correct.
And that was in the original conditions?
It was not.
So we're amending the conditions.
Well, it's a given. Both of these actually are...
If I could just clarify, those are conditions that you're welcome to add, but they're not necessary because they're still required by the state regardless of whether or not you add them.
To put the building up.
Yes, they are not.
Right, that's...
County permits.
You can redundantly include them here, and that will sort of doubly ensure that that happens, but the state already requires them through state building codes.
Well, he does have a history of going forward without permits, so maybe we better redundantly put them in there.
Yeah.
I would be glad for them to be.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll let, did we add the building permit or not?
I think we should.
Okay, so we amend the conditions to add the requirement for an agriculturally exempt building permit. Anything else? Okay, so let's vote. Let's do the yeas and nays first. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against?
Aye.
Nay.
Nay.
And anyone abstaining?
I'll be abstaining.
So findings? Is that what you wanted next? Okay.
We need to amend the findings to
sure.
support the decision.
So
that'll have to be done by motion as well.
Yeah.
If you can kind of...
Yeah.
Throw them out. I'm glad to write them down and
yeah.
recite them back at the end for your motion.
Where did I find?
I mean, you guys are talking about a lot of things, and I wrote a lot of stuff down, but I don't know that I can make findings out of them.
Can they just be amended? Well, the amended conditions, but you have to have a finding for each condition.
But essentially, we need to know where staff erred in the staff analysis.
Yeah, I understand.
Let me take a shot.
Yeah.
Good. I don't think you get a chance. I'm not sure, but
I was just going to offer to work.
You can't. No.
If we can.
Don't mess with the process.
I hate to say that it's in error, but I believe that it simply has to do with taking a shot at trying to come up with a formula and input from externals where we don't really have a good prescribed formula for determining the acceptable size of an agricultural building. We've talked a lot about the fact that we have very clear direction on the 75% of the residents for accessory buildings, and we even discussed at the original hearing, wouldn't it be nice if we had something like that? Shy of that, you did your best at trying to come up with something to substantiate it, but in the end, it fell short of the size. And I think that puts us at risk to use what might be different processes for justifying an agricultural building's size.
Would you say that the applicant has met the burden for demonstrating the need for this?
Yes.
Yes.
Trying to put those words in your mouth, you're not letting me. Something like, applicant met the burden for the size of the building in conjunction with the existing bonus.
There's existing farm use and there's potential farm use.
Okay, so size of the building in conjunction with the existing and future farm use.
Clarify the
as described in the farm plan.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
No, I think that, you know, it was, otherwise, it was a really awesome report. But this change in that finding, I think, allows this difference in conclusion.
There may be multiple findings that
that are impacted by
this in conjunction with?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to look at my final findings?
Yes, please.
All righty. I will prepare these and email them to you tomorrow.
Okay.
If you feel I've misstated, I'd be glad to. Can we do that?
I'm not sure we can.
Okay.
I don't think that we can, because then we would have to be able to take comment on the text that way. So I would prefer to hammer it out right now and prepare it for signature. Sounds like you have the bulk of what you probably need.
I think that these two findings will support everything.
Okay.
That's
great.
What I'm interested in is if you guys feel like you've got enough information from all of the discussion in this.
I think so.
You guys can pull something together.
Based on all of what you've said, I can make it fit.
Thanks.
That's good for me.
I would like to just ask for clarification moving forward. If you would like staff to change its methodologies in future applications for agriculture buildings. I mean, and not necessarily change, you can't change the rule in this setting right now, but as far as how we've been interpreting our rules and how we applied it to Mr. Wilson's application, do you find that to have been
How often are you turning people away at the desk with too big?
We don't usually turn people away. We're usually able to work with people on arriving at some kind of solution that meets their needs. But
that's kind of where I was going. Is I think the way you're doing it is fine. I think we got wrapped around the axle here because it didn't happen that way, which is really because the applicant did not go through that process, and you know, we wound up with something that. I don't know that you need to change what you're doing, because what you're doing is you're evaluating it, I think, consistently and in a way which doesn't dictate.
And we're obviously not having many people saying, well, they're just
right. That was my measure, is, you know, how many, like, it's like none.
I've never heard anybody say
I've never heard
to put
that.
Up a big enough building right
so,
now.
So
this sounds like the first
point of order.
Sorry.
I just would really like to get back to the finding before you guys straight.
No, we finished the finding.
I never got a motion to adopt
to
that
adopt
finding.
Those.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Absolutely, we didn't finish it very well, did we? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Brad.
Let's finish up on that discussion when we get done. Okay.
Yeah. So, you stated it so well. Is that a motion?
Your finding.
I'll make a motion to. Give you the leeway
the planning committee. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
To give you the leeway to
write it up.
Write the findings based upon what we were talking about. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, and so specifically the
specifically the lack
reliance
of
on the formula. Wow. You know, that is the change in the finding that we were looking for.
We need a formula.
So Brad is making a motion to not rely on a formula for the finding. That's the change, right, Brad?
Yeah.
I'm trying to give Brenda some she can. Yeah.
And that the applicant has met his
burden. And that the applicant
the size
has
of the
met
building in conjunction with the existing farm use, existing and proposed farm use, as described in the management plan.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we discussed, right?
Sure.
Right. Would someone want to second that?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Okay. So let's go back to it.
I respectfully disagree that we should continue to do things as we have. And just one little piece of that I wanted to touch upon. It sounded like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like this was the first time that you've ever contacted a state agency like the Department of Agriculture to find out what the production rates are for an acre of oats ground or something like that.
Not the first time.
Not even close.
No. No. Regular. As needed.
I agree. I've seen it in the years I've served on this commission. I've seen that before.
In the review of a farm management plan for an ag building?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't occur every day. Don't get me wrong. It's not with every single permit, but every now and again you get one, you go, this looks funny. I better learn more about this and see if it's really warranted.
Because you also have done several with soil classes too, in conjunction with, that I remember.
So, good question. Do we want them to change the policy and how they handle these kinds of requests?
My take on it, I just feel that it's, you just don't want to get into that where the planning department is telling people how to run their agricultural businesses or any businesses at that point. I feel awkward about that. And I don't know, you know, our job is to also protect potential future, all kinds of thought processes in the county with, as far as farm ground.
Yeah, no, but I don't think what we do today is telling people how to run their farm or what size building they need. I think what happens today, and you know, you guys should jump in and you know this better, but somebody comes in, they have a farm plan, they want a building, and the two just don't look copacetic, and you go, if you say nothing, you have no process, and you're not consistent, because, so I think they go through a consistent process of looking at the juxtaposition of the farm plan and the size of the structures that are being requested, and then it gets reconciled. And so if the building is bigger because of some reason, that reason gets added to the farm plan. And what we walk away with is a consistent set of documentation where you've got a farm plan that justifies the structure. And as a county managing the land use, I think that's what we need. We don't have a rule that says what size should it be. But I think what they're doing is a great piece of work in producing, and as we've seen, not in all cases, right? But trying to produce that documentation that shows the consistency between the farm plan and the buildings. Yes, Vicki?
As being on here 20 years, I've seen, give or take, my thought or question is, does the farm plan need to be reviewed? Questions and documentation on the farm plan, because we've gone through so many planners, so many planning commission chair, planning directors, things have been hatched for years. Do we need to look at that to make it easier on staff?
We don't have them. Yeah, go ahead.
It's a pretty basic
form. Yes.
It's a what are you doing, how many acres, how many square feet. It doesn't really, and it's sort of a how are you doing it. There's not a lot of wiggle room for change, but I would just add that our job is to ensure the state statute is being adhered to. And the state statute says that you can only have an agriculture building to serve agriculture farm uses. So what we're trying to do with that farm is confirm that only agriculture or farm uses are being used in that building. So that's what we're trying to accomplish. And when you have it in a, to use a very gross example, right, would be 20,000 square feet and I have a chicken, you know, like 10 chickens in the back corner. How would we justify that, you know, without additional information from the applicant as to what are you doing, why do you need that much space, what equipment are you storing? You need something to be able to make those findings. So that's just how we do it, is we use that very basic form to request additional information from our applicants and try to suss out how they are meeting that state statute. So it is a very consistent methodology, but we're not in the business of telling people how to farm or what they need to farm. We simply need to understand what their plan is so that we can say with a straight face that they are adhering to state law.
Greg, were you thinking there was a change that you want to make here?
I love to use extremes like that to help convey a point, because obviously if somebody had 10 chickens and they wanted a 20,000 square foot building, that would raise a flag.
Right.
I don't feel like this one raised a flag that warranted going in as great a detail to try and justify it. So I look forward to our upcoming processes that we're going to be entering into to figure out how we can take care of things like this, either maybe not by formula, but maybe we can provide some better tools for you and for applicants to know what they're up against when they come in, so that they know that they're not going to get a 20,000 square foot building for 10 chickens.
Right.
But that they have a reasonable understanding that they could probably work out getting a 7,000 square foot building, for example.
And of course, you all remember that we can't be stricter than the state,
yeah.
So we may have limitations on what we can do.
For those sub-warmless uses.
So,
on ag buildings, yeah.
Well,
only for the sub-1 list ag uses on E and in resource zones.
Okay.
Can we not be more restrictive than the state?
Yeah. I was starting to dive off into accessory buildings.
Yeah. Well, I do think. So I would agree. I don't think we need to change the policy about the way we operate at the desk and with the existing rules. I do think there's opportunity to give the planning department better tools in those rules. And as we go through the updates to the comp plan and the LUDO, I would think there's relevant pieces not only around how big an ag building can you put in resource zones, but you know, do we have the formula right for accessory buildings? So lots of room for improvement, but no, I don't think that it's in the policy around the way you manage them within the current rules. Does everyone agree with that? Is it?
I think it was more idea.
Yeah.
And then what we need is applicants that operate within the current rules, and I think that, you know, that was, you know, what caused this to be so difficult. Okay.
You need to clearly state the results of this hearing.
Yeah. So the results of this hearing are that the decision is overturned, the appeal is granted with the conditions that were in the original plus the one we added for the building permit.
We will send this notice of decision out on Thursday.
We will.
And there will be a 12-day appeal period upon mailing.
Thank you. And with that, we will close the hearing.
Hearing is closed.
Can you update us? Can you update me on the building code stuff? I mean,
yeah.
What's going on? What I read in the paper is so confusing.
Oh, well.
Yeah, there's a lot to tell.
Come February 1, building codes will be located in the same building that we are in. So when you pursue your conditions of approval, we'll see you again. So right now, where we're at is we're in sort of a transitional period where we are obtaining assistance from the state to have state staff, state employees implementing building codes for Wasco County and communities within Wasco County. They are setting up shop in what was previously housing the Weed and Water Master right off to the left of our public.
That's where they used
to be. Right,
that's right where they were.
Yes.
It's
where they were about
they
a decade ago.
They should never
move
anything out.
The county leadership is still working through a process to evaluate whether or not they want to implement building codes locally through Wasco County staff, or if they want to create some kind of new partnership with other organizations or just leave it to the state. The state recently sent us a letter saying Wasco County, we are happy to assist for a temporary time period, but we need to know your game plan within 30 days. So we have a couple weeks left to identify what the plan is. At last week's board session on the 17th, our county administrator requested support from the board to seek an additional 12 months to evaluate the need and determine what the best long-term solution for the county and its residents really would be. So it sounds like we have a bit more research analysis ahead of us to figure out what that might entail. But regardless, there will be building code staff in our building on Wednesday next week. I think that's the first Wednesday. Rex Turner is the name of the state building codes employee who is sort of He's leading sort of the setting up the shop. He's also going to be the interim building official. He shared with us an e-permitting website that we're able to send applicants to start their permit process online. And we have a phone number that I'm going to be sharing shortly with some of our cities to, and fire departments to let them know who to contact, how they can get in touch with the building code staff. It's a little wonky because they don't report to us. They don't, they're not managed by us. They are state employees implementing state rules and regulations. But they are doing it for Wasco County because Wasco County has not formally relinquished its role in overseeing the program as of yet. So it's a little wonky figuring it out. Brenda has been leading a data migration for us internally for planning to get all of our permitting and database related databases online, the same program that's used by Building Codes, so that our applicants will be able to log in and view the status of their planning permits and the status of their building permits all in one place. It's called Acela. So that's in progress, and a go live date is February 12th. So hypothetically, by February 12th, anyone who's working with us and needs to get building permits can go into one website portal and do all of their permitting stuff there, which would be nice. So it's in flux, but it's happening. It's moving. We're playing musical chairs in the office right now. We had to move some desks around and accommodate staff differently because we still have the weed master and we still have the water master. They're still in our building, so we now have our household hazardous waste program, and the Tri-County Recycling Program has moved into our space. They're in our program already anyway, our department anyways, but they're now in our building, sitting next to Brenda.
Well, they've been there for a while.
They've been part of the department for a couple of years now.
But I mean, they've been physically sitting there.
They're in the old veterans space, that little sort of standalone.
Where Dave and the...
They're now in our space, and Bob Wood, the water master, is now in, moving into that space. And Merle Keyes, our weed master, is moving into the
service. I just realized that if everyone just stayed still, it would be the same. Once you get started on this.
Yeah. So we're in a little bit of flux, but it's in progress, and hopefully we'll know more soon.
Cool.
I continue to go to meetings. We had a couple of stakeholder engagement meetings where we invited contractors to come tell us, you know, their thoughts and feelings about what would best meet their needs. And both meetings, we heard loudly that they would prefer to have a locally run and operated building codes office. But there are some confusion or maybe difference of opinions as to what local really means, because if the state was willing to have a local office with state employees providing a local service, is that local, or is local some a team that is managed by the county staff implementing state codes? Regardless, whoever does it has to implement state codes.
It's the same until you appeal, and that's where it's different.
That's it.
Right, because you know, if it were local, then it would end up with the county commissioners. That's, and if it stayed, it's not going to go.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference.
So that's where that's at.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Exciting times.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your guys'. Thank you for this hearing. We always try to help people find a